Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the new Horse and Plow Huddle, presented by Destination Kohler. Tonight's special guest is Green Bay rookie wide receiver Trevor Davis. Now, live from the Horse and Plow and the American Club, Kohler, Wisconsin, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. It's the Horse and Plow Huddle. We are broadcasting live here at the American Club. We're in Kohler, Wisconsin, and hopefully you're having a terrific evening as we will be expecting Trevor Davis, the Packers wide receiver and kick returner, to be joining us coming up here shortly. Packers on a bye week this week, and they just kind of watched the Minnesota Vikings ended up getting a win yesterday, 33-16 over the Minnesota Vikings. You saw what happened last night on Sunday Night Football to the Detroit Lions. They go down 20-15. That ugly break for Zach Miller for the Chicago Bears. The Bears ended up losing to the Saints. Joining us now here at the table as Trevor Davis throws a headset on and gets ready to kind of join us here. How you been?
I've been good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There we go. Like you've done this before. You get right up there. The off week, the bye week, what did you have to do? Did you go back home? Just kind of kick back for a while?
Back to California. Picked my kids up. Just got back. So.
Yeah? Just today?
I got back yesterday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys are back at it again tomorrow, correct?
Yep, back at
it. Did everybody just get out of town, or was there certain guys that wanted to stay, or do you know?
Some guys stay. Most guys with family and kids that go to school around here, normally they'll stay. Guys that don't have any ties, then they'll just go back to wherever their hometown is. Or some guys go on vacation somewhere. It's good to get off for a week.
Did you go back to the college and check out any college bar, or just hang out with the kids and the family, or what'd you do?
Went back to California, Southern California, because that's where my kids live, and didn't really do anything vacation-wise. Just kind of hung out there and saw some of my family that I know down there, and waited to pick my kids up on the Sunday to come back.
Had pretty decent weather when you left, and now it's gotten a little bit colder. Things are starting to change.
It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot since I got here. I saw the drop. It's about 40s now, low 40s.
Yeah. How needed was this break for this team? Not only for the injury aspect of it, but just to kind of let everything with Aaron going down and everything that's kind of transpired sink in.
Like I said, I was just talking about it. Having a bye week in the middle of the season is probably the best place to have one. I mean, you don't like having to go on long stretches, especially with injuries and things like that. So, you know, having a bye week in the beginning of the year, then you have a long stretch after, or at the end of the year, you have a long stretch in the beginning. So having one right in the middle like we have is really perfect.
So obviously things have changed, and we talked about Aaron going down, but this team really, it's been one of those seasons in which you go to the game that was in Minnesota. I've never seen that many guys drop in a game to the point where you're down to next to nothing as far as your secondary goes. Obviously, wide receivers have been, knock on wood, pretty healthy. But a guy like yourself, you're just trying to kind of stay in the flow because, I mean, guys are literally flying in and out of ball games because you never know.
Yeah, I thought last year was crazy, and then came into this year, and we're starting to have offensive line and a lot of positions just drop in depth. I mean, guys are coming back, but at the same time, like I've never seen, like you said, as many people as we've had go down. But, I mean, guys are stepping up, and it's great the way we've been thriving, but, you know, everyone has to step up even more if this many people can go down.
So they made the change on kick return a couple of weeks ago, and they put you back there. Was there you never want to ask what the reason why was, but I think, and just from my own perspective, you and Jeff have about the same speed. You guys are pretty much the fastest guy on the team, right?
Yeah. We say that makes no controversy with me and him.
That's exactly right.
He's probably going to be listening somehow.
Yeah. No, he said he was faster last time.
I already know what Jeff would probably say. It would most likely be something like that.
Jeff is a bigger – he's kind of a frontline runner. He's a north-south. Would you describe him?
You've got
a slipperiness to you. And I think when they were just kind of looking for a spark. Is that fair to say? Because you took one out of eight yards deep in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know the reason sometimes that they bring in guys, always coaching staff, and they want something to happen or something to change. So they just came up to me and, you know, Trevor, you're going to take the next kick return. So I was like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. So The game at Lambeau, sitting with a couple of guys next to me, Mike Clements being one of them, and you took that one. You were that far away from the end zone line and going out of the back of the end zone. I said, oh, my God, he's taken out. Now, you got out to, what, the 19, I think, on that one?
Yeah, I wish I would have got much further on that because then it would have made it look a lot better than taking it from the back line.
So, but do the coaches tell you if it's so deep, don't bring it out, or is it just up to your own discretion?
Yeah, they do. They do tell you. Do tell you.
So you heard about it in film the next day.
Yeah, that was a moment where, you know, I wasn't noticing how far back I was, but I liked the return call, so I was kind of like, let's make a play.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, that wasn't. They weren't super mad because I mean I did get to the 19,
right.
20 or whatnot, but I mean at the end of the day you want to pass the 25 no matter
right.
what.
Well, that was just going to be my next question, I mean, because sometimes. You're just trying to create something in
yeah,
your
exactly.
own mind. And you've
exactly.
got a lot going, you know, you're talking about watching the ball, wind direction, which mm-hmm. way it might be moving, mm-hmm. plus the coverage, who's got what, and you know the play where you're going and such. But then you have to, in that split moment, decide how deep am I. It's almost like a center fielder feeling for a warning track.
Yeah. So sometimes that makes it a little hard. It was a lot easier when it was just, you know, when the ball's in the end zone, you keep it in the end zone. Because you can kind of gauge that or whatnot, and you can wait and let the ball bounce in the end zone, and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when there's a yard limit, sometimes you don't really know where you're at, and you just, I mean, that's kind of how I was. And I was like, I already had in my mind, I love the return, and it was wide open. That was just the way I ran it and our blocking, and we could have got a lot further on that one. But
you had, I think, one guy really that brought you down. Otherwise, you had another 10, 15 yards a day like
Yeah, so that was, I mean, it was a great return, and I mean, yeah, the judgment-wise and the catch of it.
Yeah. So I was going to ask if you heard about it the next day because we were upstairs thinking maybe they just told him to go ahead and bring it out and maybe make a play. But no, that didn't happen.
This got a little more leeway from the beginning of the season, you know.
Right.
I mean, when you have Aaron, starting the ball on the 25 is always great. You don't even want to mess that because you have Aaron Rodgers, who's the best quarterback in the league. Of course, you'd want to start the 25 every single time, not even give or take that because you know he's going to drive you down there. And, you know. So now guys and the whole thing of kickoff return has been, you know, let's make a play.
So playing wide receiver and not being, you know, one of the top two on that depth chart, mm-hmm. you've worked with Brett Hundley. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about Brett Hundley as a quarterback and how much he's grown. Because you're in your second year. You've had a couple of years with him now, even though he's a little bit banged up last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's watched Aaron a lot. And he's got to sit behind him a lot. And when you watch in film and whatnot, I mean, Aaron has the best footwork in the league and – you watch Brett, and he's didn't come into the league with the same exact footwork, like not anywhere near. But when you watch it on film, you'll notice all the footwork is around the exact same, and he's been watching him a lot, and the way he hitches and throws and things like that. Nothing could be as quick as Aaron, but, I mean, at the same time, he's getting there, and he's watching him all the time. And from last year to this year, I mean, it's just more and more, you know, like Aaron's game and to our offense and whatnot. So, I mean, and he's – one of the hardest workers I know. So
talk about accuracy, because I mean that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. Because in the NFL, the windows close much faster. We saw it in his first game. Look, I didn't expect him to come out and set the world on fire, but you could clearly see where we were sitting. There was that moment it was open, but the window closes quick, and he was just a step slow or a second slow. That timing comes with getting those reps.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's much different. Going out there and, you know, trying to make the exact same throws that Aaron makes. I mean, like I said, he was the best quarterback in the league, but we all, you know, believe in Brett to make those throws, and we all know that he can, and we've seen him do it time and time again in practice as well. So it's really just, you know, him going out there and getting those game reps like he has gotten.
I just remember seeing him as a rookie coming in. I thought, okay, downfield, he was a pretty good, baller. But it was the short, quick outs. It was just kind of sailing the ball high, crowding the field. I don't know what it was. He just sailed some things. And then by the end of the year, he brought him down. He was putting him on the right side. He was putting him where only his guys could get him. It seemed like he really progressed as a quarterback.
Yeah, definitely.
I would love to see the offense. Now, this is a play-calling issue, but I'd love to see the offense open it up and just say, look, you're our guy. We're going to sink or swim with you, so let's just go. Not that he's going to be Aaron, but now that you've got a legitimate run game that's back there and everything that's going on and all the different depth in that running back position, I'd love to see him be able to say, not necessarily West Coast, but go back, run the football, let things open up, and then let just him do it and see what he can do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I played against him, so I watched exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So I understand what you mean by the different routes that they ran at UCLA versus what we do here.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, definitely. In the preseason, we've seen him make those plays, and it's basically the exact offense we run in preseason, you know,
right
in the game.
Because we don't get a chance to see a lot of it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he makes a play, you know, say in preseason or something, you'll see one, you know.
Yeah.
One or two good plays, you go, oh, okay, there's that flash. Do you see it consistently behind closed doors?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, that's why he's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, being the backup to one of the best quarterbacks in the league is definitely a testament to how great you are as a quarterback as well. So, I mean, us as a team, we're all behind him, and we know that he can make those plays. So,
with everybody that's been banged up on an offensive line, and then you had injuries, obviously, to Ty, and guys were going down, do you feel if you guys come back, even with Brett, that this is still a ready-to-go offense?
Yeah,
that you're deep.
Definitely. I mean, we have a lot of weapons, We just need to utilize those weapons.
Yeah. Is it an unselfish group, or do people want – I mean, everybody wants the ball.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely an unselfish group.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee. I mean – We're like that on our team, and, you know, we know that we're going to spread the ball around. Even when Aaron was there, we know that we're going to spread the ball around, and no guys are, you know, out there trying to ask for the ball. We just want to win.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about I want to get into this a little bit tonight, but Martellus Bennett had some interesting things to say over the weekend that he's contemplated with his family that this might be his last year. Mm-hmm. Knowing a guy that's a personality like that, that's a veteran like that, coming back now and saying, you know what? This might be it for me. Does it change things for you guys? I mean, obviously you still have the same goals, but does it change things looking at a guy that's thinking, maybe I might want to hang him up at the end of the year?
No, because at the end of the day, I mean, you still have next week, and you still have to just go one game at a time. You can't focus on, you know, what might be the future or whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, we have a great player in Martellus, and we're going to be able to utilize him for the rest of this year, so that's what we're going to end up doing.
How much has he added veteran-wise? Because, I mean, fans criticize. I mean, I've criticized. You know, the one thing you can't do in this league, you know, this is drop the football, and he's dropped the football. But how much has – because we don't get to see, again, behind closed doors. How much has he given to you guys behind closed doors as a veteran that's been there, done that?
I mean, Martellus is a really smart player. Like, he knows the game of football. Him and his brother, I mean, they know the game of football inside and out. Like, things that he's showed me when I first got there about receiver that he knew that I didn't know, and certain things about releases, reading coverages, things like that. I mean, he's a great asset to the team. And, I mean, of course, the personality as well. I mean, he welcomes people, whoever you are. If you're a rookie, he'll talk to you and teach you everything the same way he taught me when he didn't even know who I was or what my name was. And we were just in, you know, routes on air, and he was showing me things. You know, he's a great asset on top of the fact that he's a huge tight end that can make plays and run like he's not even a tight end.
Did you watch any football this weekend at all?
No.
Just got away from
it. Not much, yeah. Yeah. You like to get it. Sometimes you like to get away. I mean, this guy's a love, you know, dive into football all the time, but sometimes it's good when it's every single day of your life. You kind of want to get away from it you can.
I know you said the middle of the season is when it's needed the most. What do you feel like coming back? That you had that time to go do nothing, just be mindless for a while? I mean, I know you get back at the grind again tomorrow, but does it lift an energy? Because there's always the fear of, well, maybe there's a lethargicness that comes back after that. I think this team's just the opposite. It didn't need it. It was gassed.
Yeah. I would say a lift of energy for sure. I mean, I was happy to go in today and this morning and go get workouts in, and I definitely did extra things. I mean, it's kind of weird being away from it for so long when it's such clockwork every single week, single day. You wake up kind of like, what am I supposed to do today? So getting back to it is definitely great. I mean, a lot of guys come back sooner than later.
It's the Horse and Plow Huddle. We are here live at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin. Trevor Davis, the wide receiver kick returner, is our guest from the Green Bay Packers. Stick around. We got a lot more of the huddle coming up right after this. We are glad to have you. We are broadcasting live here at the Horse and Plow, and that's where you can track us down. Hopefully you're having a wonderful evening. It's the Horse and Plow Huddle up here at the American Club in Kohler. And we're going to be joined here shortly by James Jones, the wide receiver, former wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, now retired. And he'll be joining us on the phone and coming up here shortly. So stay tuned for that. We're talking with Trevor Davis, the wide receiver kick returner for the Green Bay Packers in tonight's program. As always, it's all brought to you by our good friends at Signature Limousine, also our friends at Bellin Health, who does such a wonderful job there. Also, the Hupie and Abraham, thanks to them for being a part of the program. And also Lexus of Brookfield and Milwaukee, Blaine's Farm and Fleet, Weather Dash, TEK Windows and Doors. And always, if you want to get a shot at giving us a buzz up here, maybe getting yourself involved up here as far as one of the great packages they're giving away, an 18-hole round of golf per person at the Straits or over at Black Wolf Run, all you have to do is like them on Facebook. That is, like them on Facebook, and you and a guest can be hanging out up here in Kohler. You can find it on the Facebook page at Horse and Plow Huddle on Facebook. Again, that's Horse and Plow Huddle on Facebook. like it, and you could be good to go right there. We're expecting James Jones to give us a buzz here in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, Trevor Davis of the Green Bay Packers sitting here with us. So you get back, you're rested. And you just said it's amazing because you just said, man, I really miss it. You're only gone a week.
Yeah.
But you do get into a regiment, don't you? I mean, you become a creature of habit.
Definitely. It's kind of like in school when you stop going to school and you wake up and you're like, oh, I have an assignment due or something like that. You wake up tripping out. It's kind
of
like
Are you one of those guys that's like to sleep in?
Yeah. You notice that?
Yeah. Well, I'm just adding, not that.
Okay.
I just was asking in general. Because I know when you know that when you get out of school, you get vacation days. I'm still the same way. I still get up at 5:30 with the dogs in the morning. I still start, kind of hanging out, and then I realize I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I wake up real late. When I can, which is not a lot of days.
Yeah.
So whenever I do get
the
day.
What's a normal day? Let's talk about a normal day. So if you have to, say, hit it on Monday or hit it on Wednesday and start practicing, what's your normal day?
Normal day, wake up at probably around 6:30, get in there by 7, have workouts, have meetings for around 3 hours, have practice for 3 hours or so, and lunch, meeting some more for however many hours, get home at probably around 6.
And when you do your meetings, do you do everything? Because you get team meeting, and then you get your offensive meeting, and then you break it down into wide receivers meetings,
and you're on special teams as well. Yeah,
yeah, so you got a lot going on.
Yeah, so there's a lot of meetings, and they're all 1 hour at the, I think it's like lowest.
Yeah, I was going to say you're bouncing around quite a bit in all those different meetings. It's amazing, though, what's inside Lambo. Nobody realizes that.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's an incredible facility for all that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard. Especially guys that come from other places and other teams, whatnot, they love our facilities.
Yeah, it's amazing that's in Green Bay, the smallest market in all of professional sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest building. Yeah, when you fly in, it's only you notice.
Yeah, but it has the biggest fan base, but it's the smallest area, right?
Yeah.
How does that work?
The smallest city in all of major sports with the largest, one of the largest, if not the largest, fan base. I mean, when you look at the overall values, I think there's obviously the Cowboys, the Steelers, they're historic. Giants fans are everywhere, but... as far as when you guys travel, you know that.
Yeah, I mean
how many buildings do you go into that you hear "Go Pack, Go" louder than the home team?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I noticed when I first came here last year. It's like wherever we go, there's a lot of fans.
Yeah, it's incredible the way you guys are followed. Even when, they didn't infiltrate it as much in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium when you guys played in Atlanta. That's only because everybody wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But even over in Minnesota, it was really loud over there.
Especially Minnesota. Detroit, it was like that last year. It was a playoff game. Yeah, it's like that basically everywhere we go, which is crazy. Jacksonville, Florida was like that.
Yeah, Jacksonville was huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was all the people out there sweating in the heat when you guys played there last year.
Yeah, that was an IV game, yeah.
Yeah. Was that the game at Lambeau just a few weeks ago that was the hottest game on record? Was it against Cincinnati?
I think it was.
Was that comparable or because the humidity wasn't the same?
No, it wasn't the same.
Okay.
It must have been more humidity. Yeah. But no, Jacksonville was hot. It was hot. Yeah.
When you guys travel like that, obviously you guys stay at team hotels and they keep you guys pretty protected. We were just talking about this the other day about that return to the Mecca game that the Bucks had, going back to the olden days, about how players are carrying their own bags and are walking down the street to the hotel. And today's day and age, you guys would never do that, you know?
Yeah.
How much interaction do you get just kind of walking around, hanging out with the fans?
I mean, with the Packers, we have a lot. I mean, I've heard that we have a lot more leeway than most other teams, you know, when it comes to fans being able to come and say what's up to us and, you know, shake our hand or whatnot, especially at the hotels that we go to and things like that, because there's also always a lot of fans that are at our hotels when we go there, which is really cool. Yeah. Also, as I said, a lot of teams, other guys say that there's a lot of security guards and people, you know, saying, you know, back up and not being able to be around and take pictures and whatnot. But for us, I mean, it's always pretty
open. Do you like that?
I do.
I mean, there's times you want to...
There's times,
chill,
but I feel like the times that's needed, it happens, like game days, things like that. It's pretty like
fans
that.
Fans are pretty smart about that kind of stuff,
especially
living
in
a small city.
Yeah, that's true as well. A lot of people know football really well.
Yeah.
Especially that are Packer fans.
Yeah. Now, do you, I would assume you're out there doing your own grocery shopping and people are yelling at you and trying to throw you loaves of bread and stuff like that, right?
No, I feel like people will notice, I feel like, who certain guys are or whatnot, but not a lot of people will run up to you and...
But you get a lot of that where they're looking at you and they know they're
looking at you. Yeah, some people will come up and say, you know, hi and whatever the case may be, but it won't be bombarded. But also, I'm not Jordy Nelson, so it's probably a lot different
for me. Is that what you tell people? I'm not Jordy.
Yeah.
I'm not Jordy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, so I'm not, you know, it's not the same.
Jordy wishes he had this hair. I'm not Jordy.
Jordy had the same haircut for a while.
Yeah. Yes, he has. No doubt. How much advice when you came in did you get from Jordy?
A lot. I still get advice from Jordy. I mean, I'm still learning. It's a hard, it's a tough offense, and he knows it really well, and Randall knows it really well as well. So getting advice from him is great. Right now, it's more things I never knew about in the run game or protections, things like that don't have to do with pass concepts or things like that. So it's more tricks and trades to how to learn things and how to understand the way Aaron's thinking in his mind for you can elevate your game, really.
We're 3 years into Devontae, 3 and 4 years into Devontae and Ty and the guys that were there just before you. Mm-hmm. At what point do you feel, and Geronimo comes in and he's obviously playing well, at what point do you feel it's your turn, that you're ready to fly? Because like you said, you're still learning every day. You're in your second year. Yeah. You're kind of feeling it out.
Yeah.
When are you at that comfort level to go, okay, I'm all I need is a chance now. I'm ready to go.
I mean, I felt that way this whole year. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we have a top three guys at the top three, you know, best trio, I would say, in the NFL. So it's hard to go out there and get your time when you have great guys like that. But at the same time, you need to take it in because they're not always going to be there, and you need to learn as much as you can while they are.
Let me get into this, because when we in the media or fans say, you know, we're looking at guys and there's nobody open. Now, receivers we know are always open.
Yeah.
Receivers,
yeah.
You guys are always open. But when you're looking at things on film, do you guys in that film room say, man, nobody got open? Or do you look at it and say the quarterback had to understand where you were rolling or where they were rolling for you to get it to that side of the field or to that side of the throw or to that side of the defender where only you could get it? Because sometimes a guy may not look open, but really if it's put in the right place, he is open.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I know what you're saying. I think it's a mix of both. I mean, there are sometimes some plays where it'll be a great defensive call, and they got a great rush on the quarterback, and he didn't have a lot of time to throw, and, you know, nobody won their one-on-one routes, which doesn't always happen, especially with the great receivers that we have, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I mean, there's a lot that comes into receivers coming open. I mean, you have to have the full protection count. You have to have, I mean, he has to have a perfect pocket. Nothing's ever perfect in the league, you know what I mean? And if you do get a perfect play, you need to execute it. But at the same time, guys might be up and downfield, but he didn't have enough time to throw that go route or that post route. And then there might be a slant that was covered up because they're playing underneath it, you know. So it's all about the play call and the defensive call as well as the whole play out of the play.
How many times do you look at film where it's not a pass that would go downfield or what have you, and you go, that play was open? How many times versus when you walk away going, they got us on that one?
I wouldn't know how many. I mean, it's a schematic game, and that's between the OC and the defensive coordinator of the other team.
Right.
And I can't say I know enough to deal with that. But I mean, there's definitely.
But when you look at it, you know. I mean, you know if a guy's open or if a guy isn't or if he doesn't have
enough
time.
I mean,
definitely.
I mean, fans can see it too. You know, if somebody's wide open down the field or whatever the case may be, and you want to hit those all the time. But like I said, it's when it comes down to actually being in it and having to deal with that split-second decision, it's hard to always do it.
Going from your rookie year to where you are now, they always talk about, well, the speed of the game slows down. Has it slowed down for you?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the speed of the game is more not the actual speed of players physically.
You break it down mentally more.
Yes, yeah. Definitely mentally. And, you know, being able to read coverages quicker than you used to and understand where your read is and what route you're running on this play and what the adjustment is and things like that. That's what slows down for you, and that's what helps your game up, because when that slows down for you, then the speed of your game physically can speed up.
What is and just asking you this because I want to know about your growth, because people talk about it coming from the college. The college, you'll play one or two teams where they've got somebody that's really with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get to the pros, everybody's really with you. It's just a matter of technique.
Yeah.
How much have you grown individually, just as a football player, how much have you grown mentally and physically over the last 2 years?
A lot, especially being on this team. I mean, I can say a lot. I mean, of course, anyone will say a lot, but truly, I mean, coming from the offense that I came from at Cal, which wasn't much of a schematic offense, I mean, I didn't have a lot of plays in total or routes in total that I ran. So coming here was a complete different offense for me. And learning the West Coast offense and learning it in the same way that Aaron Rodgers learned it and running the same routes that Jordy is running and, you know, learning everything that I'm learning, things that I've never even thought about rather than just, oh, all you do is run down the field and try and catch the ball. Not,
right.
You know.
But you utilized your speed there. I mean, you were a go route guy. I mean, that's what you could do.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. Going into go routes, I mean, it's a lot of things attached to it.
Oh, no, I agree with that. But I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying. There's a lot more to it now because your responsibilities change depending on what they're throwing at you.
Yeah, definitely. And going into it, man. I don't even know where to start with how many things I've learned being on this team and being on this offense, but it's a lot.
Any special tutelage from Aaron because you're a Cal guy?
I would guess so, maybe. You know, okay. You'd have to ask him. But, yeah, I mean, always coming from Cal.
Looking forward now as this team progresses, and I really hope that Brett kind of comes out and they let him do what he does, and he's put in the best position to be successful. How much do you think this offense would have to change to suit Brett versus what they can do with Aaron?
I mean, I don't think the offense is going to change as a whole. Maybe certain plays that he likes and certain things that he likes are, you know, going around the way he plays the game, kind of like you said. But at the same time, like I said, he's been learning how to play somewhat like Aaron and in those exact same ways to fit himself into the offense this past 3 years that he's been learning. So, I mean, that's what I think we are focusing on.
Aaron is such a smart guy when he goes to the line of scrimmage. We hear it all the time about how he already knows the defense before even the defenders are actually set. He can see what they're about ready to set up. How much has Brett learned from him, and how much can Brett be like that? I think if people expect Brett to go out and be Aaron Rodgers, you're fooling yourself and you're setting yourself up for failure because he's not that guy. He's, as he said, I'm Brett Hundley. Give me a shot.
He's his own great person.
Yeah. So, but how much, I mean, just mentally from the game, how progressed is he?
I mean, I've been here 1 year, basically, 1 year and a half. And, I mean, I've seen progression completely from Brett.
Okay.
I mean, especially going into this preseason, like I said. Because, I mean, that's the main time I can draw from it other than the past games, too. Because that's the main time I played with him.
Right.
And, I mean, the way he commanded the huddle, the way he ran the plays. I mean, when I was in there with him during preseason, it was a completely, like, upscale from what he's in. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's confidence. He knows the offense. He knows exactly how to run it the way Aaron does and how the coaches want him to be running it. So, I mean, there was a lot of confidence in the huddle, and I have confidence in him for when he goes out there.
Coming out of that game against New Orleans, it didn't set up. It didn't feel right. It had a dysfunctionality to it. It seemed like you guys were just trying to find a rhythm. What was he like after that ball game?
I mean, I didn't get to see him much after the ball game.
Barring nobody likes to lose, let's be honest.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, of course, nobody likes to lose. I think as a team as a whole, I mean, we came out pretty pretty slow the second half versus how we came out in the first half, which was a great drive. A couple of great drives we had in the first half, you know, and I feel like those drives are the ones we should go off of. But as you were saying, the question I went off.
No, that's okay. I wanted to find out. It's just for the fact that, you know, Mike McCarthy took it upon himself after the game, but he seemed a little fire and brimstone-esque after that as well. And I just, from where you were on Sunday to where it went on Monday and everybody getting out of town, I just kind of was just gauging the mood because Brett Hundley seems like a very confident guy. He talks about, you know, hey, Aaron's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. He would love to be as well, you know. And I like I said, it's, as long as they put him in a position to be successful, I think he can be successful. I've seen so much growth out of that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And back to your question, I didn't see, you know, him being down or down and out or anything like that. I mean, he knows that we all have confidence in him. And I know that he has confidence in himself as well. So, I mean, of course, we hate to lose, and no one likes to lose a game. But at the same time, we knew coming out of that game, after the game, what we needed to improve on. We didn't need to get down on ourselves, and you can see that in Brett.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows what he needs to improve on. He knew what he needed to do, and we all knew that too, and we know that he can do it too.
I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we hope to be talking with James Jones. Also, we've got questions from the crowd, so it's just, you know, it could be wacky.
It's not just you. Okay,
it's not just me.
Cool.
Now you get questions from the crowd, so we'll do that as well.
Right.
We want to say thanks to everybody here joining us tonight here at the Horse and Plow at the American Club in Kohler. Beautiful place, so if you ever get an opportunity to stay here, by all means, come on up and hang out because it's wonderful. And this is also brought to you by Destination Kohler, Bell & Health, Signature Limousine, and our friends from Hupie and Abraham. Our friends from Signature Limousine take care of you, get you down here.
Yeah, definitely.
They're great people.
Very nice car.
I just hired them for my stepdaughter to be 13-year-old birthday party.
Oh, wow.
They took 10 13-year-olds out on Friday night.
Man.
That was a hoot and holler.
That was probably a
great
time.
That's what you have good to look forward to once, you know, start doing the kids and they're growing up. There you go. Think of that.
Man.
I just put that in your head. I just set the bar really high for you, by the way.
You did.
So you got to follow that up now.
Yeah, you did. Having twins is enough. So.
We're going to take a quick break. We've got more. Trevor Davis of the Green Bay Packers alongside. We'll be back right after this.
Behind the scenes. I see you.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
How are we looking? Welcome back to the program. It's the Horse and Plow Huddle. We are broadcasting live at the Horse and Plow here at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin. Beautiful place, and always love coming here. It's a pleasure to be here each and every week. And have you obviously have been up to Lodge Kohler up across the street from Lambeau.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been here actually once.
What's your? Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This place is
last year.
Unbelievable. Isn't
it? Yeah, it's great.
Now, what's your setting at Lodge Kohler? Everybody asks, what's the setting?
What do you mean, what's the setting? What do you mean?
At the temperature.
Oh, I don't know how to work it that well. Sometimes, I swear.
What, are you swimming in a sink?
That's why I sleep on the bed that's not on the side of the vent, because it's always real cold. But I don't know how to work. I tried it, and I
Okay, what about the shower setting?
Oh, no, I don't take.
You don't do that either?
Don't judge me, but I don't take showers there.
Okay.
I just go home. I take a shower right when I get home.
Trevor Davis of the Green Bay Packers. We're just thanking God he bathed at home today, so good for that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a couple things. We got stuff from the crowd here. Art says, what is your best high school game ever?
High school game ever? Going back. I would say in playoffs against Bishop O'Dowd. Yeah, I had one of my best catches ever against them.
Best catches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah.
How could you describe it? If you're going to do play-by-play of your catch, what would it be?
If the guy was right here, I kind of put my hand over, tipped the ball up in the air, and then I tipped it again in the air, one-handed, and then caught it.
Okay.
Basically.
Pretty spectacular highlight reel.
Yeah, the guy fell in front of me, got to step over him and stuff. It was fun.
Okay. This one's from Jesse, who's running around here somewhere. It's more of a defensive question, but says, how with injuries and guys coming back, how much different do you think the defense will look this week?
Honestly, that's a question that I do not know how to answer, because I have...
No clue?
Yeah.
You don't work on that side of the ball. Meetings,
just
hope for
the best. Yeah, I mean, I really can't answer that one.
Okay.
I really don't know.
This one is, let's see here. Is Aaron Rodgers a big deal at Cal?
Yes. Yes. First thing I thought of when I got drafted here is the fact I'm going to get playing, going to get to play with him. I mean, people talk about him all the time over there.
This is another one from another Jesse, or maybe the same Jesse, says your favorite thing to do outside of football.
Outside of football. It's simple, but, I mean, I like to hang out with my friends and as well as my kids, take them to a park, things like that. Things have definitely changed since I had kids. So my leisure time is a lot different. I like watching kids' movies like Moana and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, that's my every day. I just got done watching B-movie before we came over here.
Now, are the kids with you here today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're down here?
They're not here, no.
Oh, okay.
No, they stay at the house. Braden was being a little butt munch, so... You got to stay.
I haven't heard butt much since I got out of high school.
Oh, for real?
For real.
Yeah, well, that's him, though.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Got a T-shirt that says it?
No, I don't.
Got to get one made.
No, I think I have something, but I don't remember how. It's clever, though.
Something. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
This one's from Gordy, who says, seeing what happened to Taysom Hill, the circumstances of the business, being released, and they wanted to bring him back, but they didn't. Do you ever have any reservations about making the rosters?
What does that mean? I don't understand the question very well.
Taysom Hill was a guy that they wanted to keep. They just didn't have the roster space for him. He ends up getting cut, and he goes over to the Saints. So they said, do you ever have any reservations about the rosters?
Like as myself?
Like yourself.
Do I think about ever?
Do you ever think about being cut or released?
Oh, yeah. You always do.
Okay.
Yeah, you always do. I mean, of course.
Not to get morbidly grim here.
Of course. No. Of course you're going to be
brutal business side.
Confident in yourself. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's things that you don't understand and what goes on in those rooms with them trying to make the best team they possibly can make. So you just have to understand that, you know, that time might come, no matter if you're top-tier player, bottom-tier player, whatever the case may be, sometimes changes need to be made.
This one is from Link, who says, the Cowboys have really nice-looking cheerleaders. Would you like to see the Green Bay Packers have really nice-looking cheerleaders?
Wow. Oh, I don't know how to answer that one without,
The man has small children and wants to live to see them grow up. Whoever the link is at.
Yeah, our cheerleaders are great. See? But, I mean, yeah.
Put it this way. As a player, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't at all.
Once you hit the field, it doesn't matter.
So, I mean, I guess to please some fans, I mean, yeah, maybe they want to do that. I don't know.
Yeah. This one says the Packers are a very storied and historic team. How do you feel about being a Green Bay Packer?
Man, I'm just going to make it simple because I'm going to get all dramatic. But, yeah, it's great. I mean, getting to play with one of a Hall of Famer, basically, and possibly multiple. I mean, coming here into such a winning team and like I said, the greatest fans I've ever been around. That I'm from California. There's not a lot of fans like that at all in any sport.
When you were in California, who'd you grow up? What team did you follow?
My cousin Donovan McNabb, so I was an Eagles fan.
Oh, okay.
But ever since he left, I'm not an Eagles fan. So
right.
It's kind of been like morphed over into the Raiders.
You're
a typical
Eagles fan.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I was an Eagles fan and then didn't have a team. Went to college and I was like, all right, now I play football, so
okay.
No need to even have
is the
team.
Atmosphere, you know, we hear so much about, and I've been out there, but for people that haven't, but when you go to games, it's just a different atmosphere.
Yeah,
definitely. There's a different intensity
to
it.
It's supposedly like been sold out for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
The stadium, like the streak.
Put it this way: there's a 70,000 person waiting list for season tickets.
Yeah,
you can fill the stadium again for that.
That's crazy when I heard that, because I mean I've never been here because I'm from California. So when I came out here and I realized all these different things that are here and how big the fan base is, I mean it was crazy.
What was it like last year? We were just sitting here talking off the air about did he get any sleet or snow coming down? And mm-hmm. I got a little bit of sleet coming up. And what was it like last year when the cold hit and it got real cold and being from California, you suddenly went, whoa, this is for real.
Yeah, definitely last year. I've gotten a little used to it. I'm starting to
right.
like, I kind of like the cold nowadays. It's kind of weird, even though this isn't really that cold. But, yeah, I mean, it was last year, it'll hit you. It takes some acclimation. So going out there and practicing in it.
Because you didn't even have anything like that at Cal, even though you're in a northern area.
Yeah, exactly. No. Cold days for us was like a rain day. Something
right.
like that. Yeah, not nose hairs freezing up and breaking off. No, that's not that's not exactly the same thing.
Have you ever watched, say, the NFC Championship game when Favre and the Giants played and it was a record-setting cold here or Ice Bowl footage? Or
yeah, I've seen the Ice Bowl footage. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the coldest game we played in last year, I feel like it was the Bears at the Bears last year.
Yes.
That was -10 or something like that.
That was brutal cold, too.
Yeah. It was a sunny day.
The coldest game, and I've told people this story before, but the coldest game the year that they lost the Giants in that cold game here wasn't the coldest game that I've ever – I mean, we got off out of the bus and went to Soldier Field earlier that year, like two weeks prior to that, and you couldn't – breathe. The wind was so bad.
Yeah.
It was and Donald Driver comes out without sleeves on and got like cut.
Yeah.
And then he said he didn't start bleeding till he got in the shower and the blood started pumping again.
Yeah.
It was like everything froze.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
yeah, I've never been through anything like that. But I kind of like snow games now cuz
snow
I'm
games
starting
you
to
can
notice,
handle.
Cuz some people that like from California, you would just think, "Oh, the snow's out, it's freezing." But they don't realize that like once it gets to a certain temperature below, it doesn't even snow anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like now I'm like, I hope it's a snow game today because that means it's probably going to be around 20, 30, something like that. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Did
like,
you ever play like a really hard, snowy game?
The only thing I've been through is the Giants game last year.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was a Giants game.
Yeah.
It was really hard. That was cool, though. I liked it.
Yeah, kind of a snow globe effect.
I didn't get to see snow a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. And the kids will love it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, snowmen,
definitely.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Trevor Davis joining us here. We're going to take one more break and come back and wrap things up here at the Horse and Plow Huddle with the American Club in Kohler. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Final segment of the huddle, the Horse and Plow Huddle here at the at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin. And again, if you would, first of all, we've got to say thanks to our friends at Lammy Sports. And if you would like to have somebody, a Packer peer, appear at your party or corporate function, such as Trevor Davis, who is with us here tonight, call our friends over at Lammy, 414-727-3600, 414-727-3600, or go to Lammy Sports, L-A-M-M-I, sports.com. And it's easy to hire a Packer and also the Wisconsin Ticket Concierge, your local trusted source for Green Bay Packers tickets. Shop local with the guys who know Wisconsin sports. Wisconsin Ticket Concierge, WITicketConcierge.com. That's WITicketConcierge.com. Speaking of that, how many requests do you get a week for, like, tickets and friends and neighbors? And I can only imagine what your ticket request and suddenly your friend membership on Facebook or something went up to when you got drafted.
Yeah, it's more more family and everything than anything, you know. But at the same time, you're going to know who's going to come because it's not like I'm in California. They'd have to get a flight and come all the way down here and set things up. So a lot of people talk about it.
Right.
But then when the cold games come around, then like, looks like we missed the time frame.
Yeah. They always want, first thing they ask you is, so do you got suite tickets?
Yeah.
Is that inside?
People always say something like that.
And then
I say, it might be snowing this game. You never know. They're like, oh, no.
Nobody wants that.
Rather not. I'm like, trust me. What, you don't want to go to a game that's not snowing.
What did your friends grow up? What fans? Were they Charger fans? Oakland
One's
Raider
a Niner
fans?
Fan. The rest are all Raider fans.
Okay.
And he's still staying loyal to the Niner fan.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What about your Raider fan fans? Raider fan friends? Because they're kind of getting ready to pack up and go.
I know. They're kind of mad about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're definitely mad about that. But
have you ever played in Alameda Coliseum? That place is awful.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it on TV.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, so they definitely had to build something new or whatever the case was going to be. So, yeah, I saw it. It looked bad.
Which still makes it amazing when we were talking about the franchise that you play for. It's still the smallest market, and that's what you have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, because you guys are in new stadiums now. You're going to the U.S. Bank Stadium. You've been over to Ford Field, which is a newer stadium. Uh-huh. You've been to... obviously, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium that just opened up for the Atlanta Falcons. In comparison, I mean, you still play in one of the Taj Mahals of all the football.
Oh, yeah, right? Definitely. Facility-wise. Our facility seems like a new stadium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it never looks to this like we were talking about with the Oakland Raiders, like ever. Right. So, I mean, coming here, stadium tours and all that, because I've been on stadium tours, it was really nice, learned a lot of things that you guys should definitely do it.
Did you go on one?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were like a pop-up, like at a
I went on a real
like
one.
You just jump out at people and yell, Trevor Davis, you know.
Yeah, nobody knew who I was to the end. I was a rookie, though, so it's all good. So, yeah.
So when you get back, because obviously tomorrow you guys are back at it. There's practice. There's going to be getting ready for the Monday night game. First of all, is that a different energy for you guys? Because it's a really weird day because it's a Monday night football game, but it's also a long day of waiting.
Yeah, true. I would say it's kind of like the bye week, you know. You wait and you just can't wait to really get to it rather than being on Sunday. Because, I mean, they set up our schedule perfectly to get us ready for the game on Monday. It's just the fact of watching football on Sunday and being ready to play and, you know, going out there and doing it on Monday.
So what is this week like knowing that you got to get a win? I mean, they can't fall any further behind the Vikings who went over to London and got a win.
Yeah, you feel that way, of course, I mean, within these games and getting to this point in the season. But it's not much different because, I mean, we honestly go into that in every game with that mentality. It's a must-win game no matter what. We want to win every single game. And even if, you know, if we were in the Brown situation where you're have no wins or whatever the case may be, we still will go into every single game knowing it's a must win.
When you got back yesterday, all the coaches running around still in such, or is everybody just not scheduled back and it's just kind of everybody's own time until tomorrow?
Oh, you mean like meetings and things like that?
Well, when you went back yesterday, you still have strength and conditioning guys that are there, but were all the coaches, Mike and Dom, and I mean all the, you know, your positional coaches, everybody running around there kind of getting ready for everybody to come back today or tomorrow?
Today is when I came in this morning. Yeah. I wasn't there yesterday. But, yeah, everybody's getting ready today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Getting ready to chomp back at it, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're all ready to, too.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to it. Hopefully you guys, you know, get a win and kind of get everything on the right track. Like I said, I think there's a lot of people that are just waiting for Brett Hundley, 3 years in the system, should know it, to kind of go out and just see what he can do. And I think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
It's probably a good description of Packers fan sentimentality. Am I right? We just want to see what Brett Hundley can do.
Yeah.
You know, let him kind of unleash him a little bit. So, and you work with him on like scout teams and stuff, right?
Yeah. And play with him a lot in preseason. So I've seen what he can do. So I know that he's gonna show out.
So what you're saying is, you know, there's a different level of Brett Hundley that's still ready to show.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's a great player and he can show it too.
Okay, well, don't forget, when the kids turn 13, that's the kind of party you got to give them, okay?
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but yeah.
There you go. It has been a pleasure, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah. All you, thanks for coming out as well to the Horse and Plow here at the American Club. And Kohler, remember, don't forget a hold of our friends over at Lammy Sports, 727-3600. That's 414-727-3600. Thanks to our sponsors, Destination Kohler, Bell & Health, Signature Limousine, Hupi & Abraham, Lexus of Brookfield and Milwaukee, Blaine's Farm & Fleet, and Weather-TEK Windows and Doors. Time for us to go. Have a good one. See you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.